Hello and welcome to Born Offside. It is with a very sad and heavy heart that I have to reveal that my co-host and former friend, Dave, has left us. Just 24 hours or so ago, he was taken away from us, really, suffering from a horrible case of too much football. In his place has been left a blubbering, nonsensical vegetable of a man. At first glance, he may appear to be okay, but after a few words, you clearly realize that he has lost all sense of reality. He's incapable of proper speech. He cannot put anything together, even one coherent sentence, really. He just constantly mumbles gibberish like Spurs in the semis and under his breath and stuff like that. And Sissoko and, you know, things like, you know. Anyway, and so on. I want to ask you to join me together in solidarity with me, Jason, as I somehow try to get through a whole podcast with this pathetic, tiresome, insufferable oaf of a man. God help me. This is going to be horrible. Go to gofundme.prayforjason.com now. Every penny you give can go towards trained hitman. Oh, and by the way, he also did this running order just before he left us, so just be prepared for that as well. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Born Offside, a very, very special edition indeed. I'd like to say very special edition. I think they're all special. Don't you think so, man replacing Dave?
This is the specialist. This is the specialist of all the
podcasts. I don't know. You know, I mean, England beating Colombia on penalties, was that... not Colombia. Yes, it was Colombia. That was good. There you go, first ever penalty. You know, and then, you know...
Okay, fair enough, not making it through.
It was, so you can't feel the specialness anymore.
I'm very
current. It's been replaced by a new specialness.
Yes, new specialness is here. It's here, and it has three letters. And those letters are V, A, and R.
All right, okay, they're V, A, and R. And I guess I did get a kind of special one for me last week as well, on last podcast as well, with Southampton managing to get into a place of almost safety. But we're just talking about, it's just a comparative, that's all.
Fine.
Nothing more.
Let's do our podcast right. The night after the most famous game of all time by discussing this
right.
Squad. Let's do that.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. We had the Champions League quarterfinals, during which we had on the Tuesday it was Barcelona getting through, and probably not surprisingly, I think Barcelona getting through against Manchester United. We'll talk a little bit about that a bit later on. The other one, which was really quite a great one, an amazing match, Juventus being knocked out by Ajax as well to reach the semi finals for the first time in about 20 years, I believe, or so. So well done to Ajax. But on Wednesday, apart from the Liverpool 4 Porto 1 mauling, we also had a very, very special football match, one that will probably live in, historically, probably live in the annals of choose a farm animal, for example, and somewhere in the annals of a farm animal somewhere, it was Everton ladies 1, Birmingham City women 3, a fantastic match, which really epitomized everything that we have been wanting. Cagman, after 8 minutes, put Everton ladies ahead. Lad, which is quite a funny name for a girl called Lad, put Birmingham City level 1-1 after 9 minutes. And of course it was White, the amazing White lady, who put Birmingham City ahead on 34 and then cleared it up on 67 minutes.
Is that what people shouted from the stands? Like, look, White lady! It's the White lady!
White lady! White lady! And Lad, The lad scored first. Someone needs to check him.
Yeah, what's up with that lad?
Anyway.
There must be a male player called Lass somewhere.
Oh, yes, there probably is. There probably is, yeah. We'll have to look it up.
I feel poor like Lass. He's probably Polish.
Yeah, it could be. Or certainly Eastern European or something. Yeah, I like that. All right, okay. But apart from obviously the two matches which happened in the FA Cup Women's Super League, there was also the small matter of the Champions League, the last match of the Champions League, which saw Manchester City knocked out of the Champions League quarterfinals for the second year running. Against English opposition once again, this time against Tottenham and Son Heung-min and his boys with a capital Z at the end. Now, we've got a lot to talk about, obviously, but we'll try to do it really quickly so that we can get through.
This podcast is going to take 3 hours. Get ready.
You better not take 3 hours, for goodness sake. Mate, obviously, it's been about 24 hours or so, or maybe a little bit, 36 hours or so since the... Is it 24 hours? 24 hours.
It's about 24 hours
since the game. The dust has settled.
No, it hasn't. The dust is still up. Dust is everywhere. It's fucking dusty. Oh, my Lord. Dust everywhere.
Maybe in your house, the dust is everywhere because you're still stamping around all over the place, keeping it up in the air. But the dust has surely settled in many other people's homes and stuff. First of all, obviously, go on, indulge us with your feelings about how this rates, as a Spurs fan, how this rates in terms of matches that you have ever been through.
Mate, this was...
Don't cry. Don't cry.
The greatest single football match of all time. My one overwhelming emotion is that people who don't watch football, your lives are interminably worse from the fact that you didn't get to enjoy the spectacle that was this game. Like, mate, you know the great, the really truly great R&B and jazz and indeed country singer Ray Charles. You know, he didn't give any of his money to societies for the blind, because Ray Charles was famously blind himself, but he didn't give any of his philanthropic activities. None of it went to blindness charities. It all went to charities for the deaf, because Ray Charles understood to be not able to hear music was a curse for someone to go through. And I feel a similar level of empathy for those who don't get football, because last night was the single most beautiful collection of narrative and drama and just, mate, it was beautiful. It was epic. It was, shut up. It was wonderful. It was, oh, mate, can we go through it minute by minute? Can we start with minute one?
Dear.
Minute one was cagey, I felt, as a minute.
Hang on. Before you start. I kind of feel a little bit for what you said. And Gary Lineker had a nice tweet go up, didn't he, as well, saying that, I feel for those who don't know anything about football. And I think Troll Football as well, there was a nice tweet by them, which basically showed, I can't remember who it was, but I think it was a couple of famous ex-football players, Mario Melchiot and a couple of others, maybe Carragher or whatever, all in the middle of a football pitch, as if they were sort of about to start commentating on a football match. And they were all looking down at the grass. And the caption at the bottom was, "A moment's silence for all those who don't appreciate football." I thought that was just beautiful. It was just beautiful. It was very, very nice. And from just very quickly, from a non-Spurs or Manchester City fan, from a partisan
from a neutral.
Who wanted to, you know, who wanted to see a good match, you know, and who knew that it was going to be a good match, but who thought quite possibly it would be far more attritional than it was, even from my point of view. And I don't often do this. I watched the whole game a second time this morning as well. So just goes to show, like, I thought it was quite an amazing football match. And for anyone who hasn't watched the match, it is, and again, for anyone who loves football and hasn't watched the match, maybe even has watched the highlights, I do suggest that you do watch the whole match, because it does keep you on
Can
the
I also say,
much.
From first-hand experience, if you've watched the highlights in English, they are just as good in mm-hmm. French, in Arabic, mm-hmm. and indeed in Dutch, because those are the languages that I have watched them in since they took place. That is what I've been doing all day. That and listening to White Snake on repeat. You know that song? Here I go again on my own.
Oh God, for God's sake, no, stop it right now. You need to take some medicine, I think. All right, okay. Let's get on with this, because obviously we've got other stuff to talk about as well.
No, we haven't. Don't own it.
No, we do. We do. And we said this at the beginning of the season, mate. We're not going to just be focusing on our teams. This is not a Tottenham podcast. This is not a Southampton podcast. Right, this is a Premier League podcast. All right?
So this was the greatest game of all times.
Try to keep a lid on it a little bit. Jesus Christ, if you keep going like this, I will not be able to make it through to the end of this. All right. Okay. Let's start with the game, mate.
Minute one. Look,
the amazing thing about this game was how amazingly fast it started, and it was just, mate, there were no defenses.
I ask you an honest question? Like an honest like question.
You can try.
When this game started, the first thing that I said was, why are they playing in the same color? Like, was it just me, or was the two kits were so similar that it took me a good amount of time to get adjusted to it. And even like later on in games, there were Tottenham defenders making clearances with their heads. And I thought, oh my God, it's a certain goal. And then part of me's gone, why is he headed it that? Oh, it was one of our players. Was it just me? Or was it like, and maybe I have a degree of color blindness, but they looked remarkably similar, the kits, no?
Yeah, no, they did. In fact, it's funny that you mentioned it. There was one point where De Bruyne passes the ball back from the middle of the midfield back to the defense to restart an attack again. And I swear for a second, I thought he'd passed it straight to Son. And like, and in my mind, my image went suddenly of the whole scenarios of De Bruyne having to forgive to ask for forgiveness because he couldn't recognize the fact that it wasn't one of his players. So yeah, I'm with you on that. They were very, very similar, but it didn't seem to put them off. Or did it?
Who knows? Like, mate,
well, nobody came out and complained about it. So yeah, no, I didn't hear any of the commentators complaining about it either. But I'm with you. I did feel as though they were quite similar. Yeah.
But like four goals in 11 minutes, mate, less than 11 minutes. I think the fourth goal goes in at like 10 minutes, 30 seconds. It's insanity.
It really was. It was. And it was lovely to hear the commentators echoing that as well, because if, you know, I mean, and you have to feel sorry for anyone who got up and made a cup of tea during that point, or for anyone who came. Can you imagine anyone? I think commentators actually mentioned it as well. Anyone who came in late and left early during that match just missed everything.
What if I missed everything?
Mate, everything. Sit down, watch the rest of this. I'm like, I'm leaving. All right, oh, I'm gonna fuck off. You know. This calls him later. What did I miss?
Done. Idiot. Everything. mate, the first goal, right? Remember, yeah. Can you remember it? It
was, beautiful goal.
Mate, when the game was played back afterwards and you show the highlights and they were showing this goal again, I legitimately turned to my missus and went, wasn't that a week ago? That goal was a week ago, wasn't it? Like, was that tonight? It was
just what football does to you.
I've watched it back. Trippier has got to show him down the line and doesn't.
Yeah, but I think he thinks that
from Sterling. It's a fantastic.
It is, yes. yeah.
Yes, I think he thinks that that Sterling's looking to do that City thing, which they always do, where they skim you on the outside, roll it across the box, and the other fullback is there to tap it in.
Is there to tap it in the back post, yeah, or Guerrero or something. But he doesn't. He knocks it in, you know, gets it out of his feet, and it's a beautiful curler. I think Lloris, no chance. Trippier, yeah, maybe, and Alderweireld as well.
Yes,
I think
it ducked underneath it.
But it's so minimal. It's almost like, I don't know. I'm not going to say that he did. I think it's just a natural human body instinct to kind of, you know, shrink a little bit within yourself, you know, to hope that you don't get hit, you know. So, but it just so happens to just, you know, and even then, I think it might may have just skimmed off the top of his head and gone in. So, no, it was very good. It was very good. And that was after 3 minutes.
Goal two.
Mate, in the running order here, you should have put the minutes down for each one. That's what you should have.
I should have. Goal
that's
two.
Okay. Yeah.
Goal two.
Mate, you start talking about it and I'll go get the minutes.
All right. So, goal two was, yep. Literally seconds afterwards, and from what I can remember of it, Dele Alli somehow has the ball, attempts to play this reverse pass into Eriksen. Dele Alli, by the way, was shocking all night. I kept saying that it looks as if, like, this was a FIFA game, and lots of people have said this, that like, I went to watch a FIFA game. Like, it was like two people playing FIFA. And Dele Alli seemed to have been set on a setting where he was playing at half speed to everyone else. Like, I thought he had an atrocious game. And only Llorente looked slower than him when Llorente came. Anyway, so he tries to play this reverse pass ball into Eriksen. It doesn't work. And Emerick Laporte, clearly the previously unflappable, faultless, I think, Emerick Laporte, decides,
yep,
you know what might be fun is if I give them an away goal. Like, I think Emerick Laporte in that moment was a defender of narrative, was a defender of interest, was a defender of fun, and just thought to himself, what happens if I give it to Sun here? Oh, it's a goal. But then the other inexplicable thing about that goal is, what's Edison up to? Like,
Well, I mean, he fully believes that it's going one way and then it goes the other, that's all. And there was, because there wasn't a deflection on the shot, but it almost looked like it was scuffed a little, didn't it? So,
Sun didn't hit it quite as cleanly as he wanted. I mean, he's hit it with power because it's beaten Edison's foot, but I don't get why Edison's dive the way he has as early as he has. Is that just me?
Mate, I'm sorry. You know how bad I am at maths, yeah? I'm sitting here trying to calculate when the goals went in, and I just can't do it. The minutes are all messing my head up.
Read to me what it says.
Okay, it says Sterling 4.
Yeah.
Sterling 4, Son 7, Son 10, Bernardo 11.
Yeah.
And then Sterling 21.
Those are all correct numbers.
All right, okay. So 5 goals in 20 minutes, basically.
Big four, bang, go- bosh. 4 goals in 11 minutes.
Double. Oh, excuse me, sorry. Yes, absolutely. Mate, do you want to just give Sonny a little bit of credit and say that he gave Edison the eyes?
Possibly, yeah. Maybe. But let's definitely give Sonny credit for his second and the game's third goal.
That was a beauty.
It was a beauty. And also there was this moment with it that when Eriksen passes the ball across to him and he has the first touch that he has, I knew he'd going to score. And not only did I know he was going to score, I knew where he was going to put it as well. In the opposite top right corner.
Dele Alli was in the way.
Yeah, that was the only worry. Oh,
get out. Get out the way, mate.
And I think my sounds, and this might be something we returned, I think my sound at the point was, kill him, Sonny! Like stick the knife in. And he did. He stuck it right in. But the thing we did it too early. Like, all we did was upset
the whole
them.
Thing was too early. Yeah, yeah.
And then I thought, goal four, still not 10 whole minutes in. Now, are we now 10 whole minutes? Anyway, goal four.
Pretty much.
Fourth goal, mate. How many games in your life of football have you watched where you don't even get to two goals and it's 10 minutes and we're already at four? Like, and
I've seen games where there's been four goals in 10 minutes, but halfway through the game. Never at the beginning of a match like that. Never. I mean, not unless it was a Sunday league, match that I'm playing in.
The only match I can remember where, like, the sheer glut of goals took me by so much surprise was the Germany-Brazil semi-final. Like,
yes.
In a different way, though, because they were all obviously going in at one end. But
yes, totally. Totally. But that was also spread over the first half. That was five in the first half, was it? But there was a period there where they scored four in very quick succession from like 11 till 21 or something. So that was it as well. But it was
similar amount of, like you said, it was time.
Yeah, but it wasn't ding dong, like you said. It was all one team. So this made people kind of attempt to recalculate maths with away goal rules things going on. And with every goal gone in, you're like, City got to score four now. Hang on. And even the commentator was like, you know, they've got to score at least three. And then Sonny scores. He's like, they've got to score at least four.
But well, they've already scored one.
And it was.
So they only need three
more. Yeah, exactly. Three more. That's right. Yeah, I'm sure he was going to get wrong pretty much all the time. There was so much stuff that,
the first attack that happened after the fourth goal was legitimately disappointing because it didn't result in a goal.
That's right. But even the fourth goal, Bernardo Silva's goal on 11 minutes, when it went in, I didn't think it was going to go in. I thought fair enough, he was in acres of space out on the right-hand side. But like,
absolutely.
Yeah, he was.
Acres. Did no one think that he might be out there?
But the ball was on his right foot. But he chopped it into his left foot. And I thought, once he chopped it in on his left foot, there was loads of defenders covering the line. And there was no way that ball was going to go in. But it comes off the arm, the back and the arm of Rose, and just kind of wrong foots Lloris, and then it's
already on the floor.
And it's 2-2, and it's 2-2, and you're thinking City's still got to score two more, and no,
do you know what my emotional thought process at that point was? I was like, it's over, it's done.
You're gonna lose 6-2.
They needed three, and they've already got one after 40 seconds. This is going to be done at halftime. And then, sure enough, it only took another 10 minutes for them to get the third, the fifth game of the fifth goal of the evening, which I'm trying to remember which one that is. That's Sterling's second. Yeah, from the amazing bendy Kevin De Bruyne ball thing. Kevin De Bruyne is like...
quickly.
There's an iPad game that you can play where you pass the ball from one player to another and you draw the line with your finger on the iPad. And Kevin De Bruyne's ball across to Sterling was as if he had gone pause and then got out his giant screen and gone, like with his finger as like, I want it to bend away from all of those men and bend in towards this man here. And it's done that. And mate, can I just have a word for Kevin De Bruyne? Because I thought Kevin De Bruyne's performance was unreal. I thought
it really was.
He was fantastic. How he's ended up on the losing side, no one. I thought he was absolutely tremendous. However, he does walk around with this, I was a ginger kid growing up and people bullied me disposition. That's terribly annoying.
It's true. But put that to one side and about his football. And I think that performance by him to, you know, in 90 minutes as well, it wasn't even extra time and penalties, you know, there wasn't even that much football. It was just a 90-minute match and he played unbelievably all the way through it.
Well,
and,
didn't he get three assists? He did, didn't he?
I think so. Yeah, he got three assists. Yeah.
He got three assists. He and got people the assist talk a lot about who the who the successor to Messi and Ronaldo is going to be. And it was Neymar, and obviously Mbappe's name comes up. But just from the sheer unplayability, two-footedness, like he sees passes that on TV you don't see. Like, I can understand that he can see a pass that another player on the pitch wouldn't see, but like, you're on TV with a camera up in the stands, and like, you know, you know, commonly I watch a football match and I'm going, he's in space, play it right. There's a man over, give it to him. Like, and then De Bruyne does things where you're like, oh, there's a man there. Oh, it's going to be a goal now.
Yeah. Like, and he does those beautiful ones where you're going, pass it to him. He's out on the left hand side. Oh, what have you done? Oh, that's a much better pass. Oh, yeah. Your pass. Yeah. Oh, wait. Okay.
It's 6-0. Oh, makes sense.
It's true. Through the eye of a needle means nothing to him. You know, he threads them. He really does. And he passes them in with such speed as well. I mean, I think that's one of the key things that people probably don't realize as well. You need to know the kind of pass that he's going to make. And when he makes that pass, you need to have an immaculate first touch, because if you don't, you know, you're in shtuck, you know, and you're not going to be able to control that ball. I mean, if you're Benteke, for example, forget it. You can't play with De Bruyne. You know, it's just impossible. Every time he passes the ball into you, it's gone.
Benteke turns up at Man City and De Bruyne goes, No. You're lost.
Next. you can't. I already have to play with you in Belgium sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
No, he was fantastic. And
he can dribble.
You do
too.
Have to feel a bit sorry.
He's not.
Well, when you say who's going to take over from the mantle from Messi and Ronaldo when they both go, the thing with De Bruyne, however, is that we are all very naive and silly with these things, and we don't often see a player for the real quality that he is, and we go with goals, you know. Unless they score goals, we don't give them the FIFA, you know, Ballon d'Ors, do we? So we're a bit terrible that way. I'm with you. I think this guy has got all the potential to start even maybe, you know, putting his nose in now whilst Messi is still kind of around. But Messi, yeah, okay. Messi's still got a couple of years left in him. Fair enough. But, you know, I think that, you know, De Bruyne is good, but it's going to be someone who scores more goals. Unless De Bruyne can start scoring, you know, 20, 30 a season. But I don't think he can, because that's not his position. He's much deeper than that. You know?
I think he could if he wanted to. But also, mate, you do have to question whether or not a ginger man can win the Ballon d'Or. I think it's just not in the spirit of what French football intended when it created the Ballon d'Or. I feel like the men who made that award would have gone, Jean-Christophe, one last thing, no gingers. Si, no gingers. Je n'ai pas le ginger. Oh, oui, yeah, no ginger. So that's why Kevin De Bruyne will never win that award. Anyway, back to the commentary.
Nous
on golf.
Ne comprenons pas ginger. C'est pas un couleur. C'est pas un couleur ici, hein?
Si,
non,
si.
Non, non.
Me gusto.
But Louise, it is a color. No. All right.
So that was the incredible bendy ball for goal 5. And then that just felt like, all right, the inevitable is happening. A little slower than the previous inevitable, but still happening nonetheless. We somehow get through to halftime. And that's the point at which you realize, God, there's another 45 minutes of this.
Yes.
This absolute,
and City only need one goal.
They only need one goal. And the second half starts, and you're like, this won't take long.
It was straight in, wasn't it? It was, well, no, straight in.
The weird thing was, is one, it took 15 minutes to come, which was like a good 15 times longer than I thought it was going to take. Oh, no, but the relentless pressure. Oh, yeah, that started
immediately. The pressure, yeah. That was immediate. It was incredible. It was wonderful to watch.
Well, in a way...
The goal did take it.
In a way, it had started already. I mean, Moussa Sissoko, mate, words that I never thought I would utter. Moussa Sissoko went off with an injury, and I felt desperation.
Oh dear! Oh, he got a yellow card as well for that gamesmanship.
I loved him for it.
Yeah, Like, he really did a Ronaldo, I think, on that, didn't he? Ronaldo in the final of the European Championship, you know, the one that Portugal won. Do you remember that one?
Yes, I remember that one.
Anyway,
it was a thing that happened previously in time.
Yeah, but the weird thing that as well. Went down three times. But
the weird thing about City's fourth goal was that just before it, Tottenham had a little flurry. Son was played through, I think, by Moura, and Kompany had to make a desperate last-ditch tackle. Llorente has a much better chance than others, where he heads it straight at Edison, doesn't make a proper connection. And Eriksen drives one straight at Edison. And
That was straight at him.
But, like, he had all the opportunity in the world to put it one side or the other. Perhaps he watched Sonny's effort in the first half and thought, no, where you hit it is right at him, and wait for him to dive out the way. Anyway, it didn't work.
Watch this.
And then as that little flurry had happened, I thought, well, now they're going to kill us. And they did. De Bruyne, like, clearly was just like, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of all of you making fun of how ginger I am. I'm going to go past four of you, and I'm going to lay it on a plate to Sergio Aguero, who, frankly, by dyeing his hair, is taking the piss out of me as well. and he did, mate.
Aguero! Oh, dear.
Mate. It's been
You must have sunk.
It must have sunk. But it did also hit me in that moment, and it's been put to me since, that Sergio Aguero bears a remarkable resemblance to, like, being the Argentine Philip Schofield.
Okay.
No?
I'll go with you on it. I'm not a big... Who's Philip Schofield?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no idea. No, you grew up in Portugal, didn't you? All right.
No, I grew up in Portugal. Who is this guy?
Philip Schofield.
Does he look like Schofield? I think you're just looking for an old man with white hair, and Philip Schofield is one, from what I can see. Oh, Schofield, did he do... Oh, I recognize him from something. Oh, anyway. Oh, he's famous. Oh, anyway. Oh, he's changed. He was different when he was younger. Oh, he looks... Oh, dear. Oh, no, that's not good. What happened to him? His ears. What happened to his ears?
Jesus.
Am I just saying what many people have said over the last 20 years?
Mate, though we could start a separate podcast on Jason reacts to photos of men.
sorry. His ears, they've gone back. Anyway, doesn't matter. Look, maybe Aguero could very well do. And, mate, it was a beautiful goal, the Aguero goal. And when it happened, it was, pretty unbelievable. Because we were looking at a roller coaster match, you know, that like no other, you know, like no other that I've seen in a very, very long time. But like the kind of match that we can come to expect at this stage of the season. Have you noticed as well that it's not the first 4-3 that we've seen? We've seen a good few battles at the Anfields and the Newcastles versus Liverpools and the, you know, in the past where, you know, the lead has changed quite a lot. And it's been one of those heart-stopping, you know, palpitating matches, and this really had that as well. And but mate, I've been waiting for this. I want to get onto the Llorente goal because that's where I'm. Why not? What? Because we all know that it was definitely, and we said this in the last one as well. In the game where the ball comes off the hand of Ben Mee, it's the kind of one where we hate to see it given as a penalty. It gets given as a penalty because officially it touches his hand, and so therefore it is a penalty, but we hate to see it given, right? Without a doubt, that ball comes off his hand and then goes onto his hip and then goes into the goal, except the fact that there was only one angle, one camera angle that actually shows that, and the referee has not shown that for the VAR, and we can see what the referee is being shown on the VAR. And during the time that the VAR is going, I am shouting at the TV going, wrong angle, change the angle, because change the angle, mate. And then they changed the angle, but they changed it to another wrong angle. I was like, not that angle. It's from
how many angles do you want
behind the goal? I want the right angle. That's what I want. I want the right angle. The one from behind the goal where clearly you can clearly see that it comes off his hand first and then it hits his thigh. But the referee gets given two angles where it is obvious.
Two angles is love.
Who needs the two angles? Those two angles, it's obvious. You know where I'm coming from, though, right? You've seen that angle. You've seen the angle where it comes
from. I haven't seen anything.
Fuck off. You're terrible. You're terrible. All right, I'll send you a link. I'll put a link on the Born Offside website.
I don't need to look at it.
I'll put it there. I'll tag you.
I'm only looking at official angles. Mate, I can't look at your contraband angles. I will not.
It was not a contraband. It was shown on the night.
I will not sully my internet history with your illegal angles. I'm not doing it.
Oh, dear. All right. Look, the fact is, what I want to say is.
That's the fact.
You got a little bit lucky.
A little bit lucky? We got massively lucky. This is not even the biggest slice of luck that we've had yet.
You can talk about the VAR at the end. I don't think that's luck. He's offside. He's offside.
It's incredible luck that he's offside.
He's actually running back.
He's not running towards goal. He's running back to goal. That's milliseconds away from him being onside.
In that sense, it's luck. Yes, fair enough. It could be construed as luck.
The fact that VAR even exists is luck. You remember this time last year when City had to overturn a 3-0 deficit that they'd let in at Liverpool, and they scored one goal within minutes. I think Gabriel Jesus scored one, and then City had a perfectly good goal disallowed. Do you remember, just before half time, and Guardiola got sent to the stands, and then that took all of the and. Guardiola said after the game, and I felt for him. I really felt for him. He was like, last year we went out because we didn't have VAR, and this year we went out because we have VAR. You've got to feel.
I thought he addressed everybody rather majestically, did really, really well. And he said all the right things. I know that everybody expects him to say all the right things, but Jesus Christ, how you managed to keep yourself together at a moment like that when people around you are asking you all these blimmin' questions in the heat of the moment. I don't even think I'd be able to answer those questions.
Mate, that I know
directed
you.
At him a I week later.
You know? I know you. You wouldn't be anywhere near it. You would have caused actual monetary damage to quite a lot of expensive equipment in that
probably situation. Is that a mic? Give it to me. Yeah, I would have been like that. I really would have. I would have been fuming. I would have been worse than the world.
It would have been Manchester City manager ruins greatest game of all time by assaulting five journos. That's what it would have been.
He was amazing. And I'm really, I am in awe of the guy. I think he's a little bit crazy. I think he's a little bit of a lunatic. And I think, if things had not gone his way in football with football, and he would be a very, very dodgy geezer. Yeah, an extremely dodgy chap living in a small little house in a farm in the north of Spain. We'll stop it there. I think he's a fantastic man, and I think he's shown great grace with everything that happened, because a lesser manager, more of a Warnock style manager, would have come out and just been and just can you imagine Warnock coming out after that game?
It would have just been
horrible to watch, though. It would have been horrible, I think, because he would have ruined the game. He would have ruined the match. And it was fantastic. It was really good. I must admit, when Sterling scored that goal, I was on my phone and I was just about to text you, gutted, mate. Right? I was just about to text it to you. I was just about to write it. I was just like, gutted, mate. And I looked up and it was weird. It was a weird VAR because nobody gave it. The ref didn't stop it. The linesman didn't put his flag up. It looked like a genuine goal. And the celebrations were mental, right? I mean, Guardiola and the whole team and everybody was running off into the corner. Mate, Just tell us how you felt at that moment in those 30 seconds before VAR came out.
So you have to pretense this with the 5 minutes or so, 10 minutes, let's be honest, the 15 minutes since Llorente scored. And what the yeah. mental space that I and my beloved missus were in watching this game is we were perched on the edge of the sofa and it was just like, kick it, get no, him, kill no, him, hurt no, him. No, 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 clear, no, clear it, no. Please clear it, please, God, clear it. Run, run, why aren't you running? God damn it, run, no, hey! Okay, back up, how many minutes left? 14, okay.
14.
You know, and then like you're like, okay, it's 90 minutes. Okay, so how many left? Five. Okay, great. 92 and a half. And now yep. you've come to the point where you're like, if they score now,
it's been cleared once.
It's going yeah, yeah. to hurt. It's going to really hurt. It's going to yeah, hurt dramatically. Yeah. And this is Spurs. This is uh-huh. this is the Spursiest way to lose.
Okay, like, now let me stop you. Hang on. Now the ball goes to Eriksen. Right. Eriksen with his back to Manchester City's goal decides that for some reason, instead of just slamming it out,
also,
he's gonna pass
also,
it back to
also of any the, player on yeah, the yeah. Tottenham team who I could have chosen to have the ball in that situation. The coldest veins, the most clinical technician, the man who yeah. very, very rarely makes a bad decision. It would have been Christian Eriksen. It wasn't Victor Wanyama. It wasn't Fernando Llorente.
No.
It wasn't even Davinson no. Sanchez. It was cultured midfield maestro genius, top echelons of world football, Christian Eriksen. And what does he do? Attempt a really, really stupid pass to Ben Davies. Like the stupidest decision, I think, honestly, I still think the kits were still affecting him. Really. And like, or either that or just the sheer panic and he's just gone, oh, I don't know. I don't know anymore. One of them over there. And it's gone.
And Bernardo Silva puts his leg in just to intercept it, doesn't he? And he just gets the mildest of touches. And that mild of touches, from the moment it hits Bernardo's leg, it then Aguero's offside.
Yes.
From that little moment. Now I'm thinking to myself, is it a back pass? He's intercepted it. Bernardo's not actually physically passing the ball.
It doesn't matter because Bernardo has stopped the ball from reaching its intended target. Because if Bernardo doesn't touch it, it goes to Davies. And so, therefore, Aguero is gaining an advantage for being in an offside position from a touch that's come off his own player.
Okay.
If Bernardo had not deliberately attempted to get the ball, like if Eriksen had smacked it at him, and then it would have been offside. But because it was completely...
It wouldn't have been offside.
Yes.
So it wouldn't have been but he doesn't intentionally try to intercept it to pass the ball.
But he does intentionally touch the ball.
But not with the intention of passing it to a player who's in an offside position.
That doesn't matter. The fact that he's intended to touch the ball is what matters. Anyway.
All right, okay.
And then Aguero races through and then and anyway, the ball goes in the net. I don't like to talk about it. It didn't even exist. And it goes in the back of the net and I'm on the floor. Like I have sunk to my knees and I am on the floor and I can hear from behind me my one and only true love screaming. And I'm literally say screaming, no, 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 no. Why? And I feel in that moment, I wish I hadn't done this to her. Like I put her through this. This is my fault. And it's just desperation. And I on the floor. And it's just no, why? I think in both English and Korean. And mate, this is how I found out. Is that during the game, I take my phone and I place it face down. and I turn it off. I turn off notifications. I put it on silent because purely because often other people want to text you during the game and their feed might be in front of your feed. And I don't want to know about a goal before it happens. So I push it face down and I only will start texting if we're 4-0 up or something. Or
and you and I, half-time. And you and I, when we watch matches at the same time, we often say, how many seconds are you ahead? Blah, 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 all that stuff. Yes. Just to establish.
But I had last night 8 people texting me and I can't tell them all what second I'm on. So I just put the phone down.
No, fair enough.
And I've like, and the goal's gone in and I've picked up the phone just like out of an instinct and I've looked at it and I've gone, why is my BBC Sport football app not added the goal? You know, like it's because what
but
happened.
They did, didn't they?
No, they didn't.
I saw a frame saying that they had actually added. I'm sure I saw a frame that said that they'd added the goal. Sterling, like that.
Yes, on the minute by minute. But the push notification that comes to your phone, it didn't come through. So, and the weird thing was is when Llorente scored, I couldn't take the 3 or 4 minutes of had it gone in, had it not gone in. And again, my wife was shouting, it's hit his thigh. It's hit his thigh. And I'm like, it doesn't matter if it's hit his thigh. It matters what the Turkish man thinks. It doesn't matter what has actually happened. It matters what the Turkish... And I'm looking at the phone going, the phone says it happened. The phone says it happened. It must have happened. The phone is in the future. It must have happened. So anyway... Anyway... Back to the Sterling non-goal. And then I look at my phone going, well, hang on, there's not. And it's at that moment I dared to look back at the screen. And I saw on the screen, the commentary's a blur, mate. I can't remember what the commentator was saying, but I saw on the screen the still of Aguero. And I shouted with all my heart, he's off fucking side. He's off side. For the love of God, check it. Somebody check it. And then next thing you see is on the Man City screen.
The big screen.
Screen. No goal. And mate, like I cheered as loudly as I cheered for any goal. Like it was like mate, you don't know. It's a weird thing to jump around your living room shouting, no goal, no goal, no goal, like again and again and again. And people who tell you that VAR is not a good thing, they're wrong. It's added drama. It's added emotion.
You, mate. You. Come on. The only thing I would say about VAR is that it needs to get faster. It needs to get better because, you know, sometimes it just takes a little bit too long. And that Llorente thing
definitely took too long.
It took too long and they kept looking at the wrong angles. You know, I just
they looked at all the angles. Stop it with your illegal angles.
All right. Anyway, at the end, it wasn't only you who was on the floor, but it was all the men. It was all the Tottenham players as well, weren't they? They were literally on the floor once that goal had gone in, once Sterling had scored. And what was quite amazing was the fact that they then had to get up, realize it wasn't a goal, and play for another 3 minutes as well.
Yes,
you know, I mean,
desperate minutes.
Mentality that they go through is crazy.
I honestly think that the non-goal saved us for those last 3 minutes because it broke the City players. It broke.
Because they were firing cannons at you. They were. And one of them was bound to go in. Once that one from Sterling went in, the euphoria must have been such that, yes, you're right, it must have taken the adrenaline out of them. And no matter how much they tried, it seemed like every shot that they had, every cross that they pumped in was half measured. Like it didn't look like they were ever going
to
score.
And it also led to one of my favorite moments of the game when Victor Wanyama gets the ball and he's like around about halfway and he's had a look and he's got two men wide open and he's just kicked it out of play. It's a like he's got the ball somewhere on the right side about halfway line after his back has broken down and he's got Son and I think Llorente wide open to his left, and he just kicked it really hard to his right.
It's which beautiful.
If Ericsson had done that, we never would have had any of this craziness.
No, true. And the last play of the match was Sonny getting it on the halfway line and dribbling, or he got it in on the right hand side and took a shot and could have scored, and you know, and then they got a corner, didn't they? So there was that respite right at the very, very end where you knew it was over, and they kept it in the corner.
One last thing that I want to bring up about what happened in this game is that when Poch thought that we conceded that goal. He threw his
yes,
and little Jesus, who's the assistant, I forget his second name, but I know his first name is Jesus. Little Jesus very attentively picks up his coat and takes it over to the bench. I thought it was a beautiful moment.
Folds it. Beautiful.
Just, it's just like
my boss is not happy. He's not happy at this moment. Very mad.
He has put. But he's very mad. Then, when Guardiola returns to the dugout after his little sojourn over to the corner flag, and realizes that it's been VAR, drops to his knees and then takes his coat off. Mate, is this a Spanish speaking thing that I'm not aware of? That when you believe
I've had enough,
it's over, you take off your coat. Were they too warm? What's up with that?
No idea. Sorry. Can't go with you on that one. I think they both just, I wonder whether it was not just the first time during the game. I thought Guardiola had already taken it off once and then put it back on again. I don't know. I can't remember.
Poch is on and off all night.
That image. Yeah. I think so. But that image of Guardiola on his knees at the end, like just shows you that, like, however cold he may sound during interviews and all that stuff, and however dismissive he attempts to be over quadruple talks and winning competitions, he loves a football match. You know, he loves a football match so much that when the stakes are high, fair enough, it's also amplified. And that's natural. It comes with the adrenaline that gets taken in by anybody. But that image of him on his knees at the end was just poetic. It was just so beautiful to see it. And
I enjoyed it.
You enjoyed it for different reasons, admittedly. I enjoyed it because I thought it was it's the kind of thing that you'd see in a painting, you know. It was just amazing. I thought it was beautiful. I thought he was amazing. I thought they were all amazing. I thought City was amazing. I thought Tottenham were amazing. I thought the game was amazing. The players were amazing. I thought the referee was amazing. I thought the referee, I've never seen him before, actually. I don't know which referee this is, but I thought he did the Champions League.
He's done a Champions League final before that, ref. I'm going to say he did the one where Barca beat Juve.
Okay.
I'm going to put that out there.
You put that out there, mate. Google that.
Like in the break. Mate, we should take a break.
Name, mate.
Let's take
a break and let's come back because there's plenty more to talk about, but we're going to talk about all that other stuff very, very quickly.
VAR. What is this world coming to? You've just had to sit through 45 minutes of this drool. Do you want some more? You're strange.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to part two of this special edition. Not a special edition, this edition, Born Offside. Mate, it's episode 71. We covered City versus Tottenham, the euphoric match in the Champions League in the first half of it all. Mate, what's next for them?
Each other again.
Mate! Saturday lunchtime at the Premier League. Mate, Tottenham doesn't
lunatic.
Even have...
A... Which prepared this and thought this was a good idea, mate? Can I just say now, like, and I said this already on the previous podcast. I'll say this now.
You did. You're gonna lose. You're gonna lose. Yeah.
But now we're going to lose, like eight. I'm worried about our goal difference. I'm worried
because we
have a better goal difference than Arsenal, but I think after the weekend, we might not do. Like, I think it might.
It may very well be six or seven. Who knows? Maybe even eight. Who knows?
Right. Especially if Dele Alli and Victor Wanyama have to play in central midfield again. It definitely is six.
Isn't it strange that Kane gone missing isn't as bad now as Sissoko not there? Riddle me that.
Or Winks not being there.
Or Winks, yeah. Riddle me that.
Or Wanyama being there. Like, it's... Mate, I don't know.
But Wanyama played very well.
I mean, bearing in mind how long he'd been out, I thought he did
fantastic. Yes, exactly.
But the last 10
minutes... He scored a great goal last weekend.
Last 10 minutes were ropey. Really ropey.
Yeah.
Which is to be expected. The man's been out with serious injuries all over the place. But not even sure if he's going to be able to play another game in such quick succession. Like, I think Oliver Skip, and I think there's going to be like youth team players playing against an angry Kevin De Bruyne. Could you imagine the Spurs under 18 player, all ready to play your first game, and you're confronted by an angry Kevin De Bruyne who just takes you to pieces?
Oh my God, it is not going to be fun for whoever's in there. And if it is poor Skip, then mate, skip this game.
Yeah.
Don't show up. Yeah. Because it's funny, because the Skip was being, it looked like he was coming on, didn't it? But then he brought Llorente on, and I thought that was a genius move, actually. It was. It really was inspired. So anyway, enough of it. We could keep talking till the cows come home on that game. There was a lot of stuff that happened. But mate, just very quickly, let's brush over the other Champions League matches. Liverpool beat Porto by 4-1 now.
Did they?
In this match.
Did they?
They did, yeah.
Did
it happened at exactly the same time.
Anyone see this game? Did it actually exist? Like,
You know what's funny is that I watched quite a number of commentators and reporters who were in the stadium at the Stadio do Dragão, as the English like to pronounce it. Stadium. Dragão.
Oh, that's far worse. I can understand why they say Dragão.
So they were in there. Mate, the weather was... it was horrible. It was pissing it down. And there was reporters, a number of different reporters who picked up the mic, and I watched them, and I could tell in their eyes, in their mind, their soul, that they did not want to be there. You know, they didn't. Now, they're reporters. They've got to do their job, and they've got to appreciate the fact that they've got a great job, a really great job. You know, I'd kill to have
football.
That job. I'd love it. Yeah, exactly. Paid to watch football, and then paid to talk about it, and people will listen to you talking about it. But mate, they did not want to be there. They did not want to be in that stadium. You could see in their eyes. They were like, and I think it was almost every, because it would pan from the studio going, oh, and let's go to the Stadio de Grau, where our special specialist is there waiting. News from there. And you know, the first thing that they go, well, it wasn't the Etihad Stadium, but we had this, you know, and that happened. And they were trying to get through it. It was amazing. Mate, I watched the extended highlights of this. Porto.
Okay, so you're the one. You're the only one. So tell us.
Yeah, probably. Porto ran them ragged in the first 30-odd minutes, really did. And it was 30 minutes of very intense pressure where maybe Porto didn't have as many chances as, you know, goal chances as they should have done, actual opportunities. But they really put on a beautiful show. Their passing was slick. It was beautiful. It was they had Liverpool in knots. They really did. But they just couldn't get that goal. And then suddenly, completely against the run of play after 30 minutes, Salah tries a shot which scuffs to the back post, and Mane slides in and manages to get the goal. Now, initially it's called for offside, but after about 4.5 minutes of VAR checking, 4.5 minutes to check an offside, once they actually did and they pulled it back and they checked it, they realized that he was onside and they gave the goal. Even Mane was thinking that he was offside, you know, and they gave the goal, and then that was it. It was 1-0 at halftime. And then afterwards, I think they tried very hard to get back into it, but they just couldn't. So Porto out, But they won't feel too bad about being out. They'll feel as though at least they gave 30 minutes of very intense pressure. So that was pretty much it. Liverpool then went on and scored, you know, three more and went through very comfortably with the 6-1 aggregate. So now Liverpool now face the winners of the Barcelona versus Manchester United match, which was Barcelona, of course. Now, in this match, Messi finally showed up. Coutinho scored an absolute thunder bastard, as you like to call it. It wasn't really a thunder bastard.
No,
it was a curl shot.
Not too
dissimilar to Sonny's goal. And I've seen further a couple
out.
Actually recently. It was further out, and it was more top corner. More top cornery-ish. Still middle-ish, but anyway, it went over De Gea. De Gea couldn't really get to it too much, but I thought that it was a beautiful goal. But mate, his celebration was quite telling, wasn't it? Did you see his celebration?
Coutinho.
Afterwards, he ran up to the crowd and put his fingers in his ears, you know, almost to say, you know, that silence.
I've
silence
got ears. You lot.
Yeah, look, I've got ears, and just below their ear lobes, but I'm putting my fingers into the ear holes, and then just above here, there's, you know, the top section of the ears, which I don't know what they're called.
Gerard Piqué's like, no one wants your anatomy lesson. Shut up.
That's it. But they do. I'm sure they do. Okay. So Coutinho scored a very nice goal. Admittedly, they were already streaks ahead, so it was kind of a pointless goal, I think, Coutinho's goal. Like, they didn't really need to score it.
For me, this game was all about the fact that I had a choice on Tuesday night between Manchester United versus Juventus and Manchester United versus Barcelona and Ajax Juventus. So, like, which game do I watch? All right, I can put them on two screens. I've got one big screen, one small screen. What's going on the big screen? What's going on the small screen? Ooh,
very important.
Tricky. Not quite sure what to do here. Juventus Ajax is closer. I'll put that on the big screen. I'll put Manchester United versus Barcelona on the small screen.
Oh, well done, mate.
I'll stick it
on
the small
screen. Well done.
I did that.
Good for you.
I did that. And then Marcus Rashford hits the bar after 45 seconds. And I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. The fun's over there in Barcelona, over where I was. No, I was like, okay, stay with it. I'll stay with it. Then Scott McTominay. Scott McTominay, Jose Mourinho's favourite player. Big chance. And I'm like, I really should, maybe should have switched that over. I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't.
Well
because
done.
Messi scores a goal, and then he scores another one. Now, here's the thing about Messi's second goal. I don't know if you get this where you are, but where I am on the feed that I watch, there's an advertisement that plays at every Champions League match where a packet of Lay's crisps, or what Americans would call chips, right? Lay's crisps is in the middle of the room on a table. And then at one side of the room is Lionel Messi. And on t'other side of the room is David De Gea. And Lionel Messi and David De Gea exchange glances. They look at the crisps. They look at each other. They look at the crisps again. They are both wearing suits for some unknown reason. And then David De Gea, who's also wearing his goalkeeping gloves to a suit-based party, who the fuck does he think he is? Anyway, both of them then dive towards the packet of crisps. Now, Lionel Messi, despite not being a goalkeeper and having an obvious height disadvantage to David De Gea, manages to get his hand on the crisp packet at the same time. It's a draw. They chuckle. This is the narrative of that advert. Now, in real life,
advertising has just gone down the toilet. It really has.
But then in real life, Messi presents David De Gea with a crisp packet of a shot, as in there was no way it should have been getting past him, but somehow it did. And I couldn't help but feel that as that advertisement came on at halftime, they should have filmed an alternative version where David De Gea falls on top of the crisp bag and bursts it everywhere, ruining it for everyone.
Behind him.
Yeah.
Oh, mate.
And Messi runs off with his finger in his hair and a crisp in his mouth. going, ah.
It was pretty dreadful, pretty dreadful. Mate, I'm so glad that you didn't switch. I am so glad. I'm proud of you, mate. I am proud of you because obviously with the English sort of background and everything, the enticement of watching an English team, you know, because you recognize the players more and then you empathize with the team or whatever, whether you like them or hate them, you know, whether you want them to win or want them to lose, the enticing factor is there and you want to watch, you know, where you recognize the players a little bit more and can go with them. But you did it and football won. Well done. You went
rewarded.
For the match that was you were
was
rewarded because
everyone's because, second favorite team. Everyone, yep. the light, the shiny little boys of Amsterdam up against the evil old lady of Italy. The club that when their player is racially abused, they don't back him. The club that when their star player is accused of rape, they back him. The club that bribes referees. The club that's been accused of doping their own players. Evil incarnate was up against the angelic little cherubs from Amsterdam. A bunch of boys that had so much weed, it's even surprising they can even make it up on the pitch. And typically in games like this, evil wins. And evil looked like it was going to win when accused rapist in chief, Cristiano Ronaldo, who they purchased specifically to win this competition, the mercenary from Madeira, heads the ball in after plucky cherub Frankie de Jong trips up fellow plucky cherub Matthias de Ligt at a corner, leaving the mercenary from Madeira alone to head the ball into a gaping net. And you're thinking, evil is going to triumph again. But then the cherubs decided to play football. My Lord. Mate, and honestly, sorry, I'll stop it. My Lord, it was a weird game because I put it to you that Ajax didn't play all that well, kind of. Like,
Well, they're star players, the ones that have been touted as being the big ones to move to other clubs. They were the ones that didn't play well, the De Jongs and the... Played great.
Oh, De Ligt was
De Jong,
was
yeah.
magnificent.
De Ligt was good.
But De Jong, who
De Jong
you've been raving about for a year-ish, like you've been off on one about De Jong for a while. This is my first opportunity to watch him for 90 minutes. I've seen the highlight reels and the flicks and the tricks and the things in here. But this is my first opportunity to watch him for 90 minutes. And I was watching it going, what is Jay on? He's not that good. What's he doing? Maybe he's got him mixed up with Van der Beek because Van der Beek was everywhere.
Van der Beek was good, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was everywhere.
No. De Jong had a bad match by his standards, and everybody said so at the end as well. But I think that he's got everything, mate. He really does. I would like to see him transformed into something more of a Kevin De Bruyne, but he's not like that. He's much more nonchalant on the ball. Like I think he's a better watch than Kevin De Bruyne. Kevin De Bruyne is great to watch, fair enough, because he's direct and he's got wonderful passing vision and he's, you know, but he's ginger. But mind you, isn't De Jong ginger? No, they don't have gingers in the Netherlands, do they? They're all
Huntelaar.
Huntelaar looks pretty ginger. Yeah, it could be. But yeah, no,
De Jong definitely.
De Jong definitely is I think a more beautiful watch. You know, I would pay to watch De Jong over De Bruyne. De Jong, De Bruyne, all these de people.
Not on Tuesday night, you wouldn't have. If you'd done that on Tuesday night, you would have been spending your money inappropriately. Like, I'll give him another chance.
Inappropriately. Fair enough.
But, like,
yeah, well, You won't need to give him another chance, mate. He's gonna, you'll be able to see, you know, soon enough, especially moving to a team like Barcelona. Oh, mate, that's just, it's almost unfair. It's almost unfair, really, to be honest. I wasn't happy when I saw the news that he went to Barcelona. And apparently now there's a lot of talk of De Ligt going there as well, which would be, you know, I mean, they're both outstanding young football players, and I think that they're gonna transform that. You know, they're the next generation to come through, and Barcelona have done completely the right thing in getting these two players, I think, anyway. But we'll see.
Yeah, and it was
anyway, back to the game. Yeah,
it was weird, the game, because then Ajax obviously scored two goals.
Yep.
But they scored the two scrappiest goals that they could have scored, if you get what I mean. The Van der Beek equaliser comes after a shot deflects into his path, and he thinks he's offside when he tucks it away. Like, mm-hmm. He tucks it away because he thinks, well, I should, just in case I'm not. But then he's not, and he's like, oh, hello, I'll have that. It's a goal. And then in the second half, they had countless chances. And Ziyech, am I saying it properly? The Moroccan kid who's yes. so well touted, and David Neres, who I myself have compared Neres to, as well. compared to a newly born Bambi. The pair of them made some horrendous finishing decisions. Some horrendous choices and execution, like. And I was convinced after they missed chance after chance. There was one where Ziyech got the ball at the back stick and like has to tap it into the net and attempts to play it across to nobody in particular. And I'm like, they're going to mess this up. They're going to let them off the hook. Ronaldo is going to score a 92nd minute penalty for a foul that never was. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. But Matthijs de Ligt very openly decided that he wasn't having any of that and rose like a salmon to nod in a corner. And it was weird because it was kind of a scrappy, almost Cardiff-esque goal that he's eventually put into the back of the net. And they went through, and they deserved to go through because they played beautiful football. And I must say, and you won't like me for saying it, but I'm going to say it, Dusan Tadic was sensational again. Absolutely.
No. Look, mate, I don't know why you keep thinking that. I don't know. Like, he wanted to leave Southampton. And
he did.
It's very strange to say this. Yeah, and he did. And it's very strange to say this, but like, he is probably the one player that I don't mind, because he was, I'm not going to say he was too good for Southampton. I think he wasn't, let's be fair, like, he was in a team, yeah, he is too good for Southampton in some ways, but like, he was in a team of players who were of a standard so much lower than what he could play with that his standard dropped. Do you know what I mean? So like, we never really saw great stuff from him. But what he did give, you know, he gave with a lot of heart. And I'm really happy to have had him there for the 4 years that he was there. He played a lot of games. He scored a lot of goals, you know, and he could have scored more. Could have, you know, whatever. But like, he also had to go through a lot of crap. He's 30 years old now. He had to go through a lot of crap during the highlights of what should have been an amazing time in his career. And he had to go through some horrible managers. He had to go to Puel. He had to go through Hughes at the beginning. He had to go through, I mean, excuse me, sorry. If Hasenhüttl was there when he arrived, I think he might have stayed, you know, and he would have been great for us, absolutely great for us, but he wouldn't have reached the heights. I'm happy for him now. Mate, do you know he scored more goals this season than he has in the 4 years that he was with Southampton.
Wow.
He scored more goals for Ajax this season than he has for the 4 years. He scored 20 goals this season in 30 appearances for Ajax. He 22 goals. He only scored 20 for Southampton, more than 100 odd appearances.
Mate, I actually have a trivia question for you.
I'm not good at these.
Barcelona, of the four teams mm-hmm. that are through to the Champions League, because we touched them all now, like Spurs, Ajax, Barcelona, and Liverpool. Barcelona are the odd one out for what reason?
They've always lost to an English team after the English team has won in Portugal?
No, the correct answer is Barcelona are the only team without a former Southampton player in their squad.
Oh, God. Thank you. Yeah, all right, fine. Back off. Is that true, actually? I wouldn't be surprised if there was a Southampton player in there somewhere, but no, I don't think it is. You're right. Yeah, Tadic over at Ajax. Wanyama, Spurs.
Wanyama, Tadic, Van Dijk.
Name but a few. And then the whole of the Liverpool team. Yes, you're right. So, mate, you know, that I'm in constant viewing of the Southampton chat rooms and all sorts of stuff. And there's often a lot of talk about that. But you know what? There's nothing we can do. All we can do is pray that we keep Hasenhüttl. You know, as long as we keep Hasenhüttl, then I'm happy. I wish he'd sign a 100-year contract. That would be fine. And everything else can go by the by.
Out of the six or seven former Southampton players now through to the Champions League semi-finals, which one would you have win the trophy? Like, just as an individual.
Oh, Tadic. Tadic, of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah, 100%. Wanyama's a dick, you know. Actually, Wanyama wasn't. Look, it's all about the manner in which they leave. Okay, I was talking to this about to a mate a little while ago. You know, Adam Blablana, he can go screw himself. Dejan Lovren, he can screw himself so many times. I'm so happy he's now the fourth best central defender at Liverpool. It's just it gives me so much joy to see him on the bench all the time. Van Dijk, he's a little pussy. I'm so glad he's gone. What a dick. And then you've got Mane, no problem at all, because he didn't make a whole hoo-ha fuss about all this crap. Lambert, you know, he was a boyhood.
Lambert's not in any of those squads.
I'm just talking about the Liverpool guys who are gone from Liverpool. But you see, okay, now if you can start talking about Koeman, for example, the way he left, what a dick. Pochettino, I'm getting better with him. I'm forgiving him a little bit, but Pochettino left under a bit of a cloud as well. Mid-season, you know, it wasn't great, you know.
He left at the end of a season.
Did he leave at the end of the season? I think Pochettino, I can't remember. But like, Pochettino was nowhere near as bad as Koeman. You know, Koeman was just a two-faced little bitch, you know, because he basically came out and there was an offer for a player. And he said, look, if it's all about money, then I completely disagree with a player leaving a club if it's just about money. A week later, Everton step in and offer him this multi-quadrillion whatever. And he fucking fucks off. Now, I've got no time at all for Koeman. No time at all. I hope he dies. But yeah, no, look, that's a bit much.
No, mate, it's fine.
He will eventually. True. No. Dusan Tadic all the way. I would love to see him lift that trophy. I really, really would. And other than that, the only other person that I wouldn't mind too much, probably Pochettino's growing into it now. So he's you know, especially because of all the things that he said about Southampton in the last couple of seasons since he's come back. Like every time he comes back to play a match, he's always saying how much of a wonderful time he had at Southampton, how he still has friends here at Southampton. Could all be bullshit. But anyway, I don't think so, you know, and how he says that it was one of the most special times and one of the most important times of his life as well, because it was the transition from Spanish football into English football, and Southampton gave him a chance to express himself and to put things into the way he wanted to do things. So he always speaks very highly of Southampton. So I've got time for him.
In Pochettino's book, he writes, well, I know it's written by Guillaume Balague, but like he praises Southampton to the hilt, and he also says in that book that the reason he left is because Cortese, who was the guy who brought him over, and apparently him and Cortese still talk a lot. Cortese, the way that Cortese was removed from the club upset him. That he didn't like to see people treated in that way, and he thought that Cortese was badly treated, and that's why he went. Anyway, now he's in the Champions League semi-finals.
Cortese, come back, please, Cortese. Mate, and there is a lot of talk now about the fact that Ralph Kruger's departure may have a similar effect on Ralph Hasenhüttl as well. Oh, my God. Please, no.
What, because he's like, you can't do that to another Ralph?
Yeah, it could be. No, Ralph Kruger was the man who convinced Ralph Hasenhüttl to come to Southampton.
He was like, Ralph, I'm also called Ralph. Come over.
I'm also called Ralph. Yeah! Yay! Party, party. And they both speak German, apparently, so they both had that connecting point there, and they were both quite... Kruger was instrumental. And I just hope, because Southampton are not in a good place right now in terms of not knowing our structure, to be honest. We need to have somebody come in there and really, you know, take us through to the next level. And it could so easily go wrong. So watch this space for Southampton. But yeah, anyway, well, I am watching this space anyway. I don't think anyone else really cares. Mate, we have veered, and we're not supposed to be doing that. But the fact of the matter is that Ajax got through against Juventus, and I think that was a wonderful victory for, like you said, light over dark. Mate, predictions on very quickly now, because we don't have a draw. We already know Ajax will be playing Tottenham, and Liverpool will be playing Barcelona. Your very quick predictions for who's going to make it through to the final.
I think Liverpool will beat Barcelona comfortably. I think that Barcelona are not the Barcelona of old. I think they're overly reliant on Messi. And I think that when exposed to a team that plays at the pace that Liverpool play at and who are defensively very solid, I think Liverpool have let in 20 goals all season, something like that. I expect, bearing... like, unless they do something silly, like there's a silly red card, or if one of the front three gets injured, they do have a problem. Because I don't like the backup to the front three.
I don't care. Ajax versus Tottenham. Come on.
All right. Ajax versus Tottenham. I think honestly, you have to put Ajax as favourites. Like, because no. Hear me out.
Come on.
Harry Kane is out. Son's out the first leg.
True.
Winks is probably out. Sissoko is probably out. Like, who's going to score a goal?
The first leg is at Spurs.
It's also interesting because Davinson Sanchez, Jan Vertonghen, Toby Alderweireld, and Christian Eriksen.
That's right.
All used
yes.
to play for Ajax.
That's very right. Yes, there was a wonderful tweet by I think it was Alderweireld, wasn't it? Vertonghen. I think it was Vertonghen. And then he sort of tweeted, "We're coming home," or we're on our way home. So that'll be great. You're probably right. Actually, they're probably favourites. It's going to be very, very tough to see how without Sissoko. Oh God, I'm still trying to get used to saying that. Without Sissoko playing in the centre of the park for Tottenham, it sounds horrible. It sounds horrible, but it's so right.
But mate. In the first game, with no Kane and no Son, who scores the goals?
It's going to be tough to see. Mate, Lucas Moura scored that hat-trick a week ago.
Jan Vertonghen didn't he, against Dortmund? Maybe that's what we need.
Mate, no, it's... I got it.
It's Fernando Llorente.
The light just shone in. It's him. When he scored that goal, by the way... when he scored that goal and he went off and reeled off and celebrated, I was imagining the whole of Spain going, "Oh, I remember him."
Mate, I've got two text messages that said exactly that. But they said it when he came on. They were like, "Llorente, that's where he is."
Like, oh, I remember him. Where's Soldado? Aren't they the same? Anyway, come on, let's keep
very
going.
Very different players, Llorente and Soldado. Anyway.
Same results.
I really weirdly think that Tottenham should try and hold out for a 0-0 at home and then hope to get a score draw away from home.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. Either way, it's going to be a very, very exciting Champions League semi-final. And I think that I have loved this year's Champions League, and I've loved this year's Premier League as well. I think it has been an absolutely fascinating and gripping campaign all round. And all culminated with the fact that now, you know, Man City are going to have to play Tottenham again in exactly the same place, exactly the same time. It's just nuts, you know. It's just absolutely nuts. So, but yeah, we shall see how it all pans out. Mate, let's take a quick break and let's finish up and wrap up the whole thing with the weekend's matches.
If you had a choice between Portsmouth staying down in League One or Liverpool winning the title, which would you choose? It's a tough one.
And welcome back, everybody, for the last part of Born Offside. We're going to zip through the Premier League's matches this weekend, all of which are extremely exciting for many, many a reason. But of course, and as we've already discussed, the first early kickoff, 12:30. Mate, we've already talked about it quite a lot. Manchester City will be very, very angry, and they're going to be playing an angry De Bruyne versus a Bambi-like Skip in the middle of... Now, I like Skip. I like him. From what
I haven't seen, looks like a nice lad.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? He looks,
looks
a nice
like a World War II, a World War II pilot, doesn't he?
He could very well, couldn't he? But one of the nice ones,
like Oliver Skip. Yeah. Who's yeah, that yeah. up there in that plane? That's Mr. Oliver Skip. Look at him with his, oh. his 9-12 haircut and his boyish good looks. Oh my God, he's been shot out of the sky by an angry Belgian man.
Epitomizing everything that the British Navy wants in its Navy. Go! Mate, he is. He's lovely. Not Navy. What is it?
Air Force.
Air attacking. Yeah. excuse me. The matches, obviously, I think it is the thigh rubber, really, of the weekend. Manchester City versus Tottenham. And like you said, you think that it's going to end up... And I'm going to have to agree with you as well. I think it is going to be a Manchester City win, but the thing that's going on at the moment is the fact that Manchester City have to get themselves back up again, and I think they will. I think Guardiola will do it. They have to get them back up again, and they have to win this match, because as we discussed in the last podcast, they can't afford to lose anything now, can they? Liverpool, in all probability, are going to win every single match, and if they win every single match, that very simply means that Man City need to win every single match. And I think that this one is the crunch one. Will they be able to get over everything that has happened? Probably yes, because they may even chop and change the side a little bit, probably slightly different size, different players, but mate, they need this, don't they? They really do for the title.
They do, and they will get it, because they're angry and they're upset. And we are the ones who upset them. And they're going to take their anger out on us. So it's fine. Let them do it.
Very true. All right.
I just don't see us getting anything out of it at all. I have Liverpool friends who are sending me Facebook messages saying, "Now do it again on the weekend." And I'm writing back to them going, "Dream on." Like, that's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
You've got way more chance of Burnley providing you with the stealing of points that you require. Way more chance. I'd give Huddersfield more of a chance of taking points off City than us. Huddersfield, really? It's not going to happen.
All right, okay. You play it all down,
I'm not even playing it all down.
See what you're like on Tuesday when we come and re-record another one. You'll be like, oh, they won 2-0. Oh, well,
mate,
anyway,
if they win, I won't even be all that excited. Oliver Skip with two goals. Now you're pushing it.
Bursting through the midfield.
Even if they win, I won't be. It'll be like, oh, that's a good bonus for the top four. Like,
cool. Yeah. No, it will. It will be. But it will derail Manchester City. And like you said in previous podcasts as well, you can contact your only Man City friend and say, do you remember that one where you won the one title?
Won the single one.
Yeah. They won the single. That's the one. Mate, the other thigh rubber, we'll move through these quickly. The other thigh rubber would probably have to say is at Goodison, where Manchester United are going to play against an Everton side who looked like they were on form until last week with that abysmal 2-0 defeat against already relegated, Fulham. It should really be a thigh rubber because Man United are obviously fighting for that fourth spot, but they've become very SHIT, haven't they? Yes. All of a sudden.
If this is a thigh rubber, it's the rubbing of two very disappointing thighs. They're thighs that have been squeezed into leather trousers, and you've thought, "Ooh, I'll have some of that." And then when the trousers have been removed, you're like, "Ooh, flabbier than I thought."
Yeah, and some hair. Yeah, hairy thighs. That's weird.
Not what I was looking for in a thigh.
Not at all. Not at all.
I feel a bit bad about rubbing these. Can I put them back?
My thanks. My tendency would be to obviously with the whole Portuguese connection. Once again, I'm rooting for Everton to do it, but for so many other reasons as well. I really don't want Manchester United to finish in the top four. I'd like it if they didn't even finish in the top six. That'd be nice, but they're obviously going to be there. But I think I'd like to see Everton win the Everton Cup, and it could just be weird, if it was somebody else winning that. Just wouldn't do it for me. The other matches involving top four prospects. Arsenal at home to Crystal Palace. Really, we can only see an Arsenal win there, can't we, with Crystal Palace? Mm. Crystal Palace has got not a bad away record, but they're just coming off the back of a few disappointing results and performances. And really, Arsenal,
and when you
albeit
get to
also
season,
disappointing.
When you get to this point of the season, you often find that the team that needs the result against the team that doesn't need a result, it ends up with the team getting the result, usually, more often than
very
not.
Very true, very true. And Arsenal really do need that to try and cement that fourth spot. Mate,
I'd say that interest is possibly, just possibly, at the Liverpool-Cardiff game, because Cardiff, breathe again.
Yeah.
The Warlock,
very true,
is not yet back in his cage.
And we haven't spoken about that, have we? Their 2-0 win down at the Amex, it was on last Tuesday, was really... I know a lot of people were saying, no, it's not going to be a surprise, but I was surprised. I really thought that this would have been the final nail in the old coffin. And of course, for me, it's not very enjoyable. I want to see Cardiff down quickly, regardless of whether we think it's going to be Brighton or not. Southampton is still mathematically in there. So I really was rooting for a Brighton win. But Cardiff are back. But surely they can't do this, can they? Surely they can't derail the Liverpool express towards the title. Can they? Can they do it? Can they do it? They could, right? They could. That's what you want to say. They could.
I mean, they
could take
it.
Points off them.
It's one of the games where both teams need it. And at this stage of the season, you want to watch the games where both teams want something out of it.
Sure.
You know, like watching one team who need a result against a team who don't really isn't fun.
Ah, it's not fun. It's like watching the third, fourth playoff in the World Cups. Yeah, just,
No,
it's not like that at all. No. And finally, for the top four matches as well. The game on Monday, which is Chelsea against Burnley. So the Chelsea at home. Burnley, this is the first of a run of four extremely tough matches for Burnley towards the finishing line of the season. Chelsea, they blow hot and cold, don't they? So, but I really can't see Chelsea
home to Burnley.
This one, surely.
Home to Burnley, you fancy them.
Home to Burnley. Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's cover the other matches very quickly. Down at the bottom, obviously the Cardiff match is very, very important. But Wolves at home to Brighton. Brighton are right back in the thick of it. It's going to be a tough one for them. What chances do we give them there?
Wolves will win. Brighton are terrible.
Mm-hmm. Brighton absolutely.
Brighton are done. Brighton just have to hope Cardiff can't catch them.
Like, yeah, absolutely. That'll be... that'll be the real one. But I mean, it's only 2 points. Brighton have also got a pretty horrid run in, so they'll have to see how that happens. But it'll be interesting to see it, because there'll be lots of points dropped as opposed to points being gained. excuse me. Bournemouth versus Fulham. Is there any interest at all? Can we say anything about this match at all?
No. This game will be relaxed. If you like a nice, relaxed game of football, this is a place to go.
All right. Okay, good. Huddersfield at home to Watford.
Even less Watford? Interesting than Bournemouth versus Fulham.
Watford want that seventh place, though, don't they? They want to try and get up as high as possible. And off the back of their semi-final FA Cup defeat, they'll be wanting to get one up. And also last week as well. Mate, here we go. Are you ready? Grimace, please. West Ham versus Leicester. Oh, come on. I know. Look, quickly. We just want to finish this. If ever there was a Premier League match to you know, really advertise the Premier League, you know, throughout the world, overseas, to see, you know, would you really recommend this match to anybody?
You know what? With neither of them having to go for anything, it might end up as like one of those weird 5-5s.
Yeah.
But like, yeah. Even so, like, wow. a 5-5 that's not really interesting, because
yeah.
No one, like, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
I mean, there's the whole seventh place, right? Which this year has taken on new meaning for the first time. So the fight battled to be the best of the rest. I guess they're both in there, so there's that as well. But it's not going to be a great game, I think. Not going to be very good. All right, and finally, the last match, and we'll get this one over and done with nice and quickly as well. Southampton travel up to Newcastle to face Newcastle United. This match, you know, for me anyway, is obviously a big one. It's the late Saturday afternoon kickoff, meaning it'll probably be at around 4 in the morning in Melbourne, so I'll do my very merry best to watch it. But it's going to be tough. Give us your prediction on this one.
0-0. Sorry, mate, but Newcastle know how to defend, and they don't know how to attack. So
it's very true. Nil
all written all over it, mate. I wouldn't get up for that. If I were you, I'd stay in bed.
There's a good possibility that I will. All right. Well, thank you very much for putting up with us during this, putting up with Dave anyway, during this this podcast. We will be back next week, probably on the Tuesday, to review possibly just after the Chelsea-Burnley game, I think, because that'll be like Monday night for you, basically, Tuesday morning for me. We'll record that and then we'll release it. And we'll come back with news from the Premier League to see if this title race has hotted up even more than it possibly could at the moment. From me, I think that's pretty much it. Dave,
and from me, Oliver Skip's biggest fan, I bid you farewell.
Come on, Oliver.
Come on, Skip.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.